Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley, Episode 14. Produced and dramatised by Be Here. Chapter 12. Ai Arm Kalumi, Light and Shadows. To see the truth, you have to first unlearn what you have learnt. The Aite forest greeted them with shade and shimmer. The sunshine seeped in through the foliage, quivering, dreamy. Fallen leaves sweetened the air. The stars camped under a giant tree, its mighty branches spread a golden canopy above their heads. Hegel pulled out his notebook and a little folded knife that Antares gave him earlier.
I must admit I somewhat struggle to grasp the concept of source stars,
the warrior said, carefully sharpening his pencil. He blew the shavings off the blade, wiped it on the bottom of his trousers, folded and put it back into his pocket.
I'd like to understand it better, please.
Source luminaries would be a better word,
Antares replied.
Look.
She cast a net of tiny spheres of light.
The universe. All these stars are really ports or gates to inexpressible power. Each one has a unique role, but they come together to fulfill a shared destiny. They form constellations. If you align your own energy fully with a certain luminary, you can become its envoy.
And channel its energy?
Precisely. Doing so would give you more power than you could ever imagine, making you one of the great weapons of the light.
Fancy that!
Tay slammed his knee with childlike excitement. Nesteri twisted his mouth disapprovingly.
It comes at a price,
Antares said.
And a burden too heavy to shoulder for a younger soul.
Hegel lifted his eyes from the notebook.
May I ask what the price is?
The entanglement. As the power of a luminary becomes yours, your lives merge together. You become its embodiment in a way. You have to leave behind the story of you that you lived by. You cease to be the person you once were.
Nesteri picked up a fallen leaf and curiously turned it in his fingers. He'd never seen a forest like this.
I suppose,
he said cautiously.
That in itself should not be an issue for a warrior on the path. We always have to leave behind who we think we were, one way or another, through training, or our call of duty, or the battles we've been through, right?
He paused and the other two nodded.
Unless there's something more to it.
Yes,
Antares answered.
The shadow strives to consume and darken all luminaries to use their power for its goals. It is one of the main aspects of this war.
The light spheres around her faded.
And if your source star were to be taken over, you take the blow as well.
Nesteri frowned.
What happens then?
Depends. Some yield and join the shadow and turn dark. Some choose to let their bodies perish so the bounding link can be weakened for a time, then return.
What do you mean, for a time?
Tay chimed in, not understanding.
The war ebbs and flows. All dark stars used to be light once, and all luminaries pure. Sometimes they fall into the enemy's hands, though.
But not forever, right?
No, not forever. No amount of dark poison can change the star's true nature, but the path back to the light can sometimes be long, very long.
Antares looked up and rose to her feet. The leaves rustled.
We shall go on our way.
Aye.
The quarter got up as well, Wading through the carpet of whispering gold felt bizarre, but fascinating.
The gates of time and space have always been the key target.
Antares continued as they walked. A shadow of sadness crept into her gaze, but not the way the minor stars could notice.
I can see why,
Tay said.
Yes, when Sirit's luminary was attacked, dark times came. Do you know why she's called the Guardian of the Labyrinth in your legends?
Oops.
Tay gave an awkward smile.
I'm supposed to know, but I can't remember right now.
He rubbed his brow, searching his memory, but then spread his hands.
No, sorry.
Sirit holds the keys to all variants of the future. In her absence, the understanding of choices and possibilities and the very concept of free will were lost. A belief spread that the future was predetermined and that nothing could be done to change it. That false idea corroded people's souls because it led them to think that they're powerless, that their desires and actions didn't matter. We have retrieved Sirius, though. It's now a light star once more.
A shallow creek cut across their path. Colourful pebbles gleamed like gemstones in the crystal water. The currents gurgled through the rocks and twigs.
There is something you should know,
Antares said, stepping over the stream.
The amount of power you wield is down to the structure of your mind. The more light you allow into you, the more powerful you become. Your mind is what limits how strong you can be.
Would that imply that by changing how my mind is structured, I can change what I am?
Hegel's question sounded nearly affirmative.
Perhaps even become a senior star like our teacher was.
You can, and you should,
Antares told him.
Your task as a warrior is to master yourself, so you can be of greater service to others. We are the first line of defense against the shadow. Never forget that. Our responsibility is to guide and protect those who are not ready to stand for themselves.
Understood. Thank you, Holy Star,
Hegel replied, deep in thought. Little did he realize that those words were going to shape how his future unfolded many years later.
The path of a true Arya warrior,
Antares continued,
is shaping yourself and your reality with your will. Your life is a story you're writing yourself every single moment. It may seem to you that some things happen without a reason, but it is your command that brings them forth out of the sea of possibilities. The more energy you wield, the greater is your impact on the fabric of reality.
Asteri nodded slowly, contemplating.
It reminds me of something our teacher used to say,
he recalled.
To be free, accept responsibility for your thoughts, your words, and your actions.
The bright halls of the academy floated through his memory.
That's right. If you don't learn to make your choices conscious, you won't know which are truly yours. You may fall into the trap of serving someone else's will unaware. For a warrior in spirit, it's the worst kind of enslavement.
What shall we do then?
Tay asked.
Master your will. It is one of your two main weapons against the shadow. Discover it, awaken and strengthen in every way possible.
Understood.
The captain dipped his head.
And what's the other one?
It is love.
Tay flinched inwardly. He took a deep breath, his gaze fixed on the trees ahead, unseeing.
I don't understand what you mean, Holy Star.
He uttered finally, with forced indifference.
Love is one of the aspects of the light,
Antares told him.
Just as the visible light separates into colours, so the light of existence splits into rays as it travels through our world. This force, called Maitri, is not a feeling, it is energy. You must connect with it and cultivate it to become unshakable. This life-sustaining, healing, and creative principle is one of the main differences between our enemies and us. The shadow assumes many guises and wears many masks. Sometimes it poses as false light as well. But if you know what to look for, you will never be fooled. The shadow knows nothing about love.
The afternoon sun was slowly sliding down, the shadows growing longer. Warm ribbons of light shone through the sparse woodland, brightening Antares' face.
What should we look for, then?
Nesteri asked. He pushed a low branch out of his way, and it shook as though waving goodbye behind him.
Evil can't create anything,
Antares said.
It can only copy, defile, and distort. You can see that in every sphere of life, where harmony and beauty have been banished, where ugliness and decay reign, where truth and virtue are shamed and ridiculed. That world has been affected by the darkness. It is there where we stars are needed most.
Our last place was like that,
Hegel said in a tone of gloom.
We only stayed there for a short while, thank all gods. But it was tough, suffocating. It must be quite a challenge to live there.
Battlefields tend to be dark and dirty places. But hardships are your allies, warriors. They teach you strength.
So very true.
Hegel replied meditatively.
Thank you,
he added with his customary grace. In the falling dusk, the glade before them looked peaceful and solemn like a chapel, framed with a cloister of tall trees. Antares called a halt.
Perfect.
Tay breathed out merrily, noticing the thick woolen blankets by the fire in the middle, which appeared just then.
Needed that.
He raced to the closest blanket, flopped down on it and stretched. His team followed in a less vivacious manner. The weariness felt good. It was the kind that brought peace to the mind and heart, the type that's best enjoyed in quietude. Even Tay didn't seem in the talking mood. He looked up. The first stars were coming out in the gloaming. They shone so brightly in the cool air. It was such a curious feeling to be calm, heading into the unknown, Nesteri thought. And to learn to trust someone outside of himself. Maybe. A little part of him wanted to try. But it didn't feel right. To trust someone else would mean to become soft, dependent, a lesser warrior, and a lesser man. From his younger years, Nesteri learnt to trust no one. One of the best decisions he believed he had made. The star picked up a twig and pensively threw it into the fire. There was no reason to change anything. That night in his dream, Nesteri saw the nature spirits amongst the iridescent mists of waterfalls and triangles with wings that guarded a golden goblet at the end of the rainbow.
Invere tese monceteo aisom. Nolion de ceneres verai.
Someone was there. A stranger. Combat trained. Dangerous. The quarter's eyes snapped open. That energy signature they wouldn't mistake for anything. Slowly, imperceptibly, Tay moved his head to the right. His whole body tense, ready to jump up and strike. An instinct drilled into him over the years, kicked in before he had a chance to think. A moment later, though, he took a long breath and told himself to calm down. They were on Largu, with a guardian, safe. Who was that, then? He frowned.
Look, over there.
Nesteri's whisper reached his ears. At a distance, vague through the morning mist, two silhouettes talked, lit scarcely by the early sunshine. A tall warrior stood before the Star of Time. He spoke in Ae, his words brief and tense, now and then bowing his head. Light shimmered on his pauldrons. A few steps behind, another figure froze in obeisance with his right arm across his chest. Tay's eyes lit up with curiosity.
Whoa, we've got visitors,
he whispered back to Nesteri.
I wonder what's cooking. I'll go check.
Not sure that would be appropriate,
Hegel opposed cautiously.
The great stars might be...
What do you think I am?
Tay snorted.
I'm not going to bother the greats, but that guy over there...
He pointed.
By that tree, see? The one that seems busy doing nothing. Bet I could talk to him.
Hegel squinted, studying the stranger through the mist.
What could possibly go wrong?
He theatrically raised his eyebrows.
Oh, get off. If it was that secret, surely they'd find a place to talk somewhere else.
Tay scowled.
Am I right or am I right? Exactly. I'll go check it out.
No, wait.
Asteri turned to Hegel. His face was serious.
We must not let Tay get into that nonsense.
He paused, then added emphatically.
Alone.
Tay chuckled, and Hegel rubbed his face.
Fine.
He gave in.
At least I tried.
Your efforts shall be noticed and duly valued, young apprentice.
Tay said in Master Alsevier's voice.
Fine, fine.
Hegel sighed and got up.
As you command.
The stranger's uniform was ash and copper, marked with an unknown symbol on his chest. His brown, unruly hair was tied up with a string of deep green, the colour of time past. As the quarter approached, the officer lifted his head and they met his eyes. The luminous eyes of a light star. His face, however...
You!
Tay gasped in shock.
You! Is that true? How?
No way.
Asteri muttered, suppressing the instinct to take a fighting stance as Tay and Hegel did. The officer stared at them curiously, but didn't move.
You...
Tay spoke slowly, his eyes fixed on the stranger.
You are fatal, right? Fatal?
The officer shook his head, visibly confused.
Altais, to agini maya, ia.
What?
Tay interrupted brusquely.
I don't understand.
My name is Altais.
The officer said in almost perfect Lyrian, with only a slight hint of an accent.
However, some call me fatal as well. I don't mean to be rude.
His grey eyes swept the squad.
But I cannot recall as being acquainted. With whom do I have the pleasure speaking?
It was the quarter's turn to trade baffled stares.
He can't be that fatal if he doesn't recognise him.
Asteri said doubtfully.
Are you trying to say that there are many fatals out there and they all look the same?
Tay scowled.
Look at him. Just look at him. He must be the one. He just admitted it.
His tone grew hostile. The memory of their last fight, the blinding pain and the near death flashed fresh in his mind.
How did he get here?
Hegel slowly dropped his fighting stance and straightened up.
It can't be him,
he echoed.
His energy is not dark.
Must be a trap.
Tay growled, still fuming.
The Guardian wouldn't allow it.
Hegel insisted. A shadow of amusement flickered in Altaïus's eyes.
Must be a trap,
Tay repeated stubbornly. He measured the officer with a heavy look, anger brewing in him.
What are you doing here?
He asked through his teeth.
Our mission is strictly confidential.
Altaïus responded flatly, but a corner of his lip curled up, betraying his mood.
Enough,
Tay snapped.
He's mocking us. Now take that, you!
He raised his hand.
Tay, no.
Asteri barred his way.
We don't know what's really...
Having a good time over there.
Antares' voice broke in, ringing with scorn.
Holy...
Guardian!
The quarter turned sharply to face the great stars and froze to attention.
Our apologies.
Tay dipped his head with all the earnestness he could summon. The foreign commander by Antares' side was tall and stern. The lowered hood on his silver-strewn uniform revealed a face that had seen many storms and many battles, and yet it was impossible to tell how old he was. His youthful stature contrasted with the touch of grey in his long black hair. The commander seemed unimpressed.
So that's the quarter,
he said to Antares and Ai softly, then shifted his gaze to Altaïus.
Te lovrai hierane overte,
he added in an iron voice.
Dismissed.
The quarter didn't understand the words, but the tone needed no explanation. They were mindless enough to become a nuisance and embarrass themselves in front of the Guardian. Not the best start of the day. Discomfited, the warriors bowed and withdrew at once. To their surprise, the suspect stranger followed. He had enough sense to keep his distance, though.
What the heck?
Tay kicked leaves out of his way.
I can swear it's him, the demonoid. He nearly sent us off. What the damn heck is he doing here? Never mind the eyes. Maybe they've learned to mimic. What the bloody...
It wasn't me.
Altaïr spoke suddenly.
I would never turn against any one of us by creed. You're taking me for someone else.
Tay halted and pivoted on the spot.
You just told us you're him, just then.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
You said you were Fatial. For Ruth's sake.
It is a name I hardly ever hear. And I'm, in fact, curious how you even came to know it.
Altaïr studied the quarter quizzically. Tay rubbed his face.
I feel like I'm going crazy.
He grunted.
The hell is this about?
Nesteri looked at him, then at the imposter. His face was painfully familiar, and yet his energy was not. A baffling contrast.
We're 3-1,
he told Tay.
And the Guardian is with us. We risk nothing. Let's go back to the campfire and talk.
Yeah, let's do that.
Tay seemed lost.
Why not, whatever. He hasn't tried to murder us, so far. Maybe it's his day off or something.
They walked the few last yards in silence. At the campfire, Nesteri lingered for a moment, finding some odd amusement in how outlandish the situation was. He grabbed one of the sleeping leathers and threw it to Fatial.
Here you are.
Well, thank you.
Altaïr caught the blanket in midair.
All I can say is that I'm sorry that I seem to remind you of someone you don't recall warmly.
He added, sitting down.
It confused the life of me at first. I thought you were loonies.
He snickered.
Loonies?
Tay glowered at him.
Is that not the word?
Depends for what,
Nesteri said.
When someone you've never met randomly jumps at your throat.
Maniacs.
Nesteri corrected, non-committally.
I'd probably say maniacs.
Ruth's sake!
Tay exploded.
Stop this babble, will you? We must find out who he is.
Ah, yes. I didn't get a chance to introduce myself properly.
Altaïr gave a somewhat sarcastic smile.
Given the circumstances, Lieutenant Commander Altaïr Rae Aruna, in charge of the Zone F217318A, in Sector L72DXRS575DG506. Somewhat pleased to meet you.
Tay took a long, swishing breath. It suddenly dawned on him how stupid he must have appeared all this time. Mast Alsvir would give him a wigging. Lead by example, huh? Looked like he was up for another fail. He needed to fix this, now.
Right.
Tay rubbed the bridge of his nose.
My apologies, Commander. I'm Tay Dalt, Captain of the Quarter. This is my team.
He showed at Nesteri and Hegel.
We are not loonies.
Nesteri snorted, and Tay threw him an askew glance.
Not all of us, anyway. You really do look like a spitting image of... someone. Didn't expect that. Guess I've overreacted a bit. My bad. I'm not normally like that.
He put his arm across his chest.
Hegel Trethian.
Hegel followed.
Nesteri Astarion.
Nesteri said.
Excuse our manners.
It's all right.
Altaïr replied amiably.
Could have happened to anyone. When warriors quarrel, the shadow wins.
He quoted an old adage and glanced at the circle of coals.
Should we get some fire going?
The quarter nodded, and their new acquaintance conjured flames, very much like Antares would.
So what brings you to Lagu?
Altaïr finally voiced the question he was dying to ask.
If not a secret.
Not that I'm aware,
Nesteri replied.
The Guardian of Time Pass saved our lives and brought us here. A while ago now.
Why?
No idea.
Nesteri shrugged.
She didn't tell you.
She did, kind of. Something about destiny and such. We couldn't make any sense of it.
Destiny is a valid enough reason, I suppose. You can trust the wisdom of Kaer Nereus Veri.
Altaïr's gaze pensively swiped the quarter.
Kaer Nereus Veri?
Tay tilted his head.
The great star of time past in A. That's how we usually address her.
Altaïr rested his elbow on his bent knee and nodded at the flames that started to dwindle.
This needs more logs.
I'll get some.
Tay volunteered readily.
Be right back.
How do you know her, by the way?
Nesteri asked.
I wouldn't say I know her.
Altaïr admitted.
We've only spoken briefly. She is one of the generals supreme. My boss reports to her directly, and I had the honor of seeing her a few times when I accompanied him, just like today. I like her presence, though.
He added with a warm smile.
She's the kindest star I've ever met.
The sky above darkened slowly, the clouds gathering, swelling, gravid with rain. In the thickening gloom, the bright circle of fire looked like a blessing spell.
Forgive my impertinence.
Hegel shifted on his sleeping leathers, pulling his jacket sides in closer.
But I'm curious where you're from, Commander. Your Lyarian is outstanding.
Why, thank you.
Altaïus smiled, visibly flattered.
No ranks, please.
He wrinkled his forehead.
I'm from Esterelie myself, but I love languages. I always have done. I'm fluent in 20, and I know another 5 or 6 enough to get by. Nothing to boast about yet, but working on it.
He paused, looked up as though trying to recall something, then suddenly joined his fingers in a gesture of complacency.
Ha, really good.
Mysteri curved his lips appreciatively.
Why Silterian, though?
Hegel asked again.
Never thought I'd meet anyone who speaks our language these days.
Oh, that was an obvious choice. Silterian is so scenic. It borders the area I patrol, so I go there any chance I get.
Tay returned, cutting across the glade with wide strides. He unloaded his heap of brushwood, added some to the flames and sat back on his leathers, content.
It used to,
Hegel corrected.
Used to what?
To border,
Mysteri said with a hint of melancholy.
Silterian has fallen.
What?
Altaïus jerked his head up, startled.
What do you mean? It's there, exactly where it's always been. I've seen it, just maybe a week ago. If anything happened, believe me, I'd be the first to know.
What? You're sure?
Affirmative.
The quarter stared at him, then at each other, and back at the lieutenant, chaotically trying to piece that information together and failing. Altaïus's eyebrows went up.
What are those glares for? Stop looking at me like a tree full of owls.
Did you?
Tay uttered hoarsely.
Did you just say what I think you said?
He did.
Mysteri confirmed in a tense undertone, leaning slightly forward.
What's wrong?
Now Altaïus seemed flummoxed as well.
Why do you believe your world is gone?
Because.
Tay's voice was slow and dark.
We've been there. We fought through the fall, but survived. Many others didn't. The planet is destroyed.
I'm sorry.
Altaïus lowered his head, but in an instant jerked it back up.
Wait! No!
He nervously ruffled his hair.
This can't be. This can't be. Let me think. Melveran would have reported. No.
He suddenly put his hands down and calm gradually returned to his face.
No. If anything happened, I would have known. We would send reinforcements at once.
Altaïus studied the three once again more carefully.
Who are you?
He asked in a suddenly mellow voice, a dim, impossible realization growing in him.
Just regular warriors,
Tay muttered, taken aback both by the question and the tone.
We're no one special.
No one special.
Altaïus echoed with flawless, understated irony.
You swear to have seen the end of Silterian. You know my childhood pet name. And the Guardian of Time herself has saved your lives. A typical boring day.
He regarded the quarter with a closed expression. They looked back at him, unsure what to say. Now, when he put it that way, the whole situation did sound off the charts. There seemed to be no explanation either. For what felt like an eternal while, nobody said a word.
Tay, I think I figured it out.
Mysteri spoke finally, in a somewhat tentative manner.
Figured what?
All three turned to him. Mysteri glanced away. He knew what he was bringing upon himself for saying what he was going to say.
This...
He paused, but then shrugged defiantly and went on with the confidence of someone who had nothing left to lose.
We must be in the past. Before the fall,
he said.
Shut up. No way.
Tay blurted out.
You're crazy.
I knew you were going to say that, but there's no other...
So it's true.
Altaïus whispered, staggered.
It must be you.
His face was a mixture of shock, awe, and disbelief.
I thought so. Light, preserve me. It must be you. I'm...
He swallowed.
I'm honored.
Why? What now?
Tay, who thought he had exhausted his ability to be surprised, turned to Altaïs, utterly stumped.
I have no darn idea what you're talking about.
Altaïs didn't reply. He contemplated the quarter with an absent stare, reflexively grabbed a piece of brushwood, put it into the fire, then added another. The flames fizzled and sparkled resentfully as they touched the damp bark. The lieutenant scooped some dry leaves and added them on top. The fire shot up.
I've seen it.
His voice sounded as though coming from far away.
The space ripping apart, warping, collapsing into explosions. Then suddenly serene. And a new reality was born. Nobody else had seen it, but I did. And my commander did. Only for a split second. Maybe faster even. I'm not sure. It felt as though time stopped and then started again. Hard to explain in words.
He added some more leaves to the fire. In the trembling shadows, his face suddenly seemed older. Tiredness etched lines on his forehead.
I thought I was losing my mind,
he confessed.
But Flamard told me he saw it too.
Flamard?
For once, Tay seemed hesitant to interrupt.
My boss. He told me that someone had short-circuited time to move someone else across, and there were three figures. My extended vision is not as sharp, so I don't know. He said it was because we happened to be close by, or else we'd have seen it. He heard old stories, apparently, but he had never witnessed it firsthand until that day. I was told to keep it secret, and I did.
But you're telling us now?
Because...
Altaïs finally raised his gaze from the flames and looked at Tay.
You know it anyway. Likely better than I do.
He pulled off the string that tied his hair and redid it more neatly.
There would be no point.
His eyes were still absent.
How are you sure that it's us?
Altaïs shrugged.
It's obvious. Out of all stars, only the Guardians could have done it. Only them. And suddenly the three of you are with Keveri on Lagu. I've never seen anyone here except her. Not once in all these centuries. She saved your lives, you said. And you seem to know the future. I can piece facts together.
He paused and rubbed his forehead.
My word. I'm speaking to someone the Septenary had changed the course of time for.
He said slowly, listening to the sound of those words. Unbelieving.
It is an honor to be in your presence.
Altaïs put his arm across his chest.
No, come on, we're not. We're just...
Tay spluttered, visibly taken aback.
I shall keep it a secret. Don't worry.
Altaïs told him reassuringly. A wan smile touched his lips.
We're fighting on the same side. The Chosen Ones.
It was impossibly surreal to hear a star who looked like Fatial say that.
Wait.
Mysteri held his breath as a morbid realization pierced through his mind.
It's in the future. The demonoids are going to... We must warn him.
Before he could speak, though, Altaïs cocked his head as though trying to hear something and instantly rose to his feet.
Darini Ketosu. Copy.
He muttered.
I have to go.
He said to the quarter in a clearer voice.
Boss ordered me back.
The lieutenant stood against the darkened sky, sharp and detached like the first time they saw him. The copper tracing on his uniform reflected fire. He tarried for a tiny moment, regarding thoughtfully each of the warriors in turn. Then, unexpectedly, a broad smile brightened his face.
Whoever you are, brothers, it's been an honor,
he said earnestly.
May the light guide you on your way.
So it was him. It was our Fatial after all.
Tay muttered carefully, building a pyramid of logs in the fire. The obsessive precision of his movements betrayed how unsettled he was.
I can't...
He shook his head.
My mind refuses to believe it.
With you on that?
Mysteri echoed. He looked at the empty spot where Altaïs sat earlier.
I wanted to warn him, you know.
He added in an undertone.
I should have done, but I didn't get a chance.
I'm nearly certain that he'd figured it out,
Hegel said.
Our remarks were unequivocal enough.
Tay frowned without taking his gaze off the flames.
One day, I'll remember all those stupid words you use,
he grumbled.
The whole damn lot. Then you'll be sorry.
He grabbed a twig and pushed the burning branches closer. A fascination of sparks shot up and flew away.
What did I say?
Forget it. Doesn't matter.
Nasteri reclined on his sleeping leathers, throwing his hands behind his head.
The chosen ones, huh?
He mused out loud.
Don't say that,
Tay snarled. His stick dropped to the ground.
What's wrong?
Tay slumped and locked his hands together.
Far must be like that now,
he whispered after a pause.
Like Fatial in the future, I just pray that someone...
A spasm gripped his throat.
Someone doesn't kill him while we're here, getting ready.
Stop it.
Nasteri sat up sharply and frowned at the captain with reproach.
You know that time moves only for us, but not for him.
I do? Ah, right. I do.
Tay took a deep breath and leant back facing the sky.
I do, but I keep forgetting somehow.
The clouds moved leisurely above, a weave of grey against the dark grey.
It looks like rain.
Look, Tay, it's not right. We did all we could.
You really think so?
Nasteri bit his lip. Was it true? Was it? Or did he simply want to believe it? For a moment, he hesitated to answer.
Yes, we did.
He suddenly heard himself saying with serene certainty, as though someone much wiser was speaking through him.
Guilt is like poison, Tay. It will destroy you if you let it. It will take everything away and give nothing back. We are warriors, remember? There's enough work out there for us as it is. Don't let your inner enemy tear you down.
Tay snorted a mixture of acknowledgement and surprise.
Hell and blizzards, Neri. You make a better impression of Master Alsphere than I do.
He dug his fingers into the leaves, found a pebble and threw it at Nasteri's feet.
Here's your preaching medal. Now shut up.
Hegel pulled out his notebook and scribbled some lines in a hasty manner. A strand of hair fell across his eyes. He frowned and pushed it behind his ear.
What you doing?
Tay inquired idly, poking the burnt pieces of wood with a stick and watching them fall apart. Under the charcoal surface, their inner hearts were still red and aglow with heat.
Just thoughts to meditate on later.
Warriors.
Antares appeared in front of them in a hooded cape of green velvet. Her dress was moonlight blue and traced with silver.
We better be on our way. Breakfast later.
Aye, Holy Star.
The quarter got up. Tay straightened and bowed his head once again.
We are sorry.
Antares raised her eyebrows.
For riding the crazy horse earlier.
Tay explained.
We don't usually...
Really?
Nasteri looked down to hide a smirk.
We're usually much more sensible than that. It's just his face.
I know.
Antares said graciously. Her gaze was deep and thoughtful.
It's not your fault.
She stretched her hand towards the fire, like so many times before, and the flames turned lucid. Clearer and clearer they became, fading into a trembling diaphanous haze until vanishing completely.
Dalia.
The great star's lips moved almost soundlessly, and as soon as that, the glade was empty once more. Not a sign remained of their camp. Only the leaves whispered.
We should go,
Antares repeated, a strange sense of melancholy in her voice. The wind tugged on a cape, showering it with autumnal gold. The party walked in silence for some time. The dark unrest of the clouds grew pale and thin, scrapes of the brighter sky opening up. Stray shafts of sunlight gilted the sparse woodlands. Small flocks of birds, white, copper and azure blue, flew past, their long wings swooshing through the air. Tay and Nasteri lagged behind, discussing something fervently, too softly for the rest to hear.
Well, go ahead and ask then.
Hegel finally heard Nasteri whisper.
Why me? It was your idea.
Tay protested in an undertone.
my theory, and your idea to bug up.
Come on, it just can't be.
Ask.
Doesn't seem like a good time to...
Yes?
Antares spoke without slowing down. The two traded impish glances like schoolboys caught at mischief and hastened to catch up.
Holy Star,
Tay began.
Fatial said...
I know, and yes.
What? Do you mean it's true?
Tay burst out.
We are in the past, are we?
That's right.
Mysteri said nothing, but his told-you-so complacent smile spoke louder than words.
Fine.
Tay shrugged obstreperously.
I've already learnt to unlearn most of what I've learnt.
He suddenly lapsed into confused silence, unsure if what he had just said made sense.
I mean, nothing is normal anymore, so may just as well...
But how?
Hegel's lilac eyes rounded in disbelief.
Time is a form of energy,
Antares said.
It follows certain rules, but there are other rules of a higher order that can be used to alter the laws of the visible world. To a point.
She paused and looked at the quarter with a hint of weariness.
Don't concern yourselves with that for now. This knowledge leads where your language can't follow.
Understood.
Hegel inclined his head respectfully. A whirl of wind rolled through the forest, rattling trees, tumbling the stray foliage up to the scattered clouds, then finally dying down to a sigh.
I have a different question, if I may.
Mysteri asked cautiously. Antares looked at him.
Yes?
Some indefinable expression flickered in her eyes.
Thank you.
Mysteri glanced back at Antares, but then away.
I've been trying to piece something together for a while now. Meeting Fatial reminded me.
His brows knotted into a frown.
How does a star become dark? It seems like an absurdity, a contradiction in itself. I mean, we are supposed to be the warriors of the light. All of us, are we not? How can one turn away from his core essence, the very purpose of his life, and not look back? I can't get my head around it.
A sad smile touched Antares' lips.
At the beginning of time, all stars were light.
She answered, slowly, as though recalling a memory from a long ago.
But since the invasion, things have changed. Our sector of the universe became a battlefield, and many have fallen in the millennia that followed. The shadow can create nothing of its own. Its army is an army of hostages. To continue the war, it needs to fill its ranks continually.
How?
Through doubt and pain, mostly. And not the kind of pain that challenges you and helps you grow. The shadow's weapon is the pain that blinds your mind. It makes your consciousness shrivel into one point, until all other thoughts and feelings disappear, until there's only darkness. When that happens, the present moment turns into a prison, an eternity of pain. It's like an endless night with no hope for dawn.
Intense.
Tay ruffled his hair in consternation.
It's only an illusion.
Antares continued.
A trick. But to the captive, that eternity of pain seems like the only reality there is. The more helpless the warrior allows himself to feel, the more gates he opens for the shadow to enter. If it succeeds in forcing him into despair, his mental shields break down and his will is crushed. The shadow will consume his mind and make him forget who he is.
I see.
Tay's voice was thick with emotion.
Is that what usually happens?
The shadow has many arms,
Antares said.
Its other favorite is fear. Many succumb to it too readily. Fear has a lesser grip on us, though. Stars are often resistant to it. This is why with us, the enemy tends to use doubt and torture instead.
How does one fight off an attack like that?
Mysteri's gaze became cold and narrow.
If you stay true to the light within, nothing can bring you down.
Not even the fiercest attack?
Absolutely nothing.
Mysteri considered that for a moment.
But...
he continued, perplexed.
In that case, how does the shadow ever get to dim anyone?
He clasped his hands behind his back.
only with their consent.
What? No way!
Tay blustered.
My apologies, but no way anyone would ever submit to the enemy by choice. I'd rather die than become a shadow's slave.
Nestarian Hegel nodded to his words. The great star glanced at the quarter pensively. Over the centuries, she had seen so many warriors just like them, proud and confident, fiercely loyal to their truth, unshakable, until they were no more.
That's not quite how it happens,
she finally spoke.
You don't send out a come and get me note. You yield when you stop fighting. You are defeated when you start to think that evil is needed and that resistance is futile because you can't win anyway. Those treacherous concepts are like mental rot. Admitting them means putting your weapon down. After that, your freedom is no more.
Hegel shivered. Antares's warning sent an icy cold through his heart.
Why are those thoughts in particular?
He asked.
Because they take away from your truth,
Antares told him.
The shadow knows too well that for as long as you are tuned into your light, you are invincible. And so it wants you to falter. It wants dark thought to grow and contaminate your mind until it turns into your enemy. This is why mastering your mind is one of the vital skills for a warrior.
Hegel nodded, thoughtful.
But what if there is really no hope?
Tay looked at Antares searchingly.
There's always hope.
Be here. Bringing books to life. Vision without sight.